Because they had taken the plot and used over the years some of the Roman yard, et cetera, okay? And I don't know a lot about pagans and pagan worship, but I'm here to tell you, pagans, that it was a different, it's a different breed. And I want you to understand that we do, if we get to the Roman Catholic Church and the persecution scars, they learned well from their pagan forefathers. Okay? So, hopefully that. Last night, I want to go back to this verse. If you don't mind, the verse in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start a class and we left off.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but amen. We read those verses and I read these accounts, and I read what some of these where we read about an individual last night. Can you imagine walking into an arena? Can you imagine being there? I can't imagine that. Can you imagine the lions walking around, sizing you up before they attack? The road meets the road right here. You know? It's easy. We read the Lord asking us, are you going to go away? Oh, you have the word to buy. I'll tell you what, brother. We have some examples that we need to learn from. You never know how things are going to end up for sure. Alright? We need to learn and realize they received their faith from Jesus Christ and from the examples of the scriptures. And that's how they stayed strong.
Well, you know, you gave us a sheet of paper yesterday, and it has the Baptist Heritage up there, and there's a verse, or not a verse, a line that says, since Ignatius confesses that he carries within himself him that was crucified. And like, I just got to thinking, and, you know, a couple verses up, verse 22, and it says, and ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I mean, that was a powerful statement by Trajan.
Yes.
He wasn't killing Ignatius because Ignatius was Ignatius.
Yeah, everybody hearing that? Yeah, you saying that you carried the cross, your Savior? Well, let's see how this works out for you. Satan's work. That's right there. Alright? So
that same gene, you know, killed the body. I mean, sometimes we think of that swift blow. And Ignatius said that, you know, he cares for nothing. He realized, let the breaking of bones, the tearing of limbs, the grinding of the whole body.
Okay, so now I'm going to go with that here, because I was not going to go through the deal. You're just throwing all the core out here. Okay, we have people that have seen dead carcasses in the woods. And maybe there's been folks in this room that have come upon and seen where an animal has been eaten on a carcass. Well, maybe you've actually found that yourself. Alright? I don't know. There's a thing called, I know people don't know this, there's a thing that was called the Civil War. Okay? And I've read a little bit about the people that came in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days later to get the bodies on the battlefields in the thermal wagons to still try to bury and the bloated bodies in the sink. And walking them on right to this, the pigs that were out there eating the bodies. We don't even see them. They truck it away. We don't even have funerals anymore. We don't see the bodies. We don't know anything. And I think about those brothers that went out there and picked up the bones that had their brothers and put those bones together and took them to bury. They too were confronted with, are you going to go away? Are you going to, is this worth it? What are you going to do? Their the strength that they received from a school that the example before them. Yes, Stephen carried him through. Yes, Christ himself. What do we need to know? We need to know about Stephen, Jesus Christ. That's going to carry us through the gift situation. Stringer, page 49. I'm going to officially stop doing this. I'll probably start with this. See, I hope these references, I'd rather you read it than me tell you. Bottom page 29, if you can do that, please. We're going to actually read a couple paragraphs. We're going to try to touch along here a little bit. I wanted to get over here. It might not happen. We'll just see what happens here. But Clement of Rome, remember, these guys wrote in the 100, 150 years. And again, we just have a little bit written about them. Need someone that will read loud. Brother Josh, start with you. Let's go to the back table there. Back table, you know how I do it. One paragraph. Here we go. Bottom page 29. Go ahead, please. Several Baptists.
Several Baptist ideas seem common to all these early writers. Early churches were universally considered to be local assemblies of baptized believers. Membership was gained in those early churches upon a profession of faith, followed by baptism by immersion. Churches were obviously separate from the state and were often persecuted by local governments. Individual Christians were usually regarded as priests and appealed to God as individuals.
I don't want to just read this already, but I want you to read that thing. What's the big deal? Because baptized believers becomes a big deal. It becomes, I think it was mentioned last night, many deaths, rebaptizing people, etc. like that, okay? So this is a big deal, and it started early, early on, okay? This is the writers of Barnabas, Ignatius, Polycarp, Clement of Rome, okay? Sorry, we have to go. Oh, my bad. Keep going. Next paragraph.
From the very beginning, there seemed to arise controversy over the Lord's Supper. Some early leaders, such as Ignatius, taught that partaking of the Lord's Supper was important in achieving salvation. Others, such as Clement and Polycarp, taught that the Lord's Supper was simply an act of obedience.
All right, we talked on this just a little bit. Ignatius, again, I've not read that anywhere else, but Stringer did put that in there. So we have Clement and, of course, Polycarp, that just simply said it was an act of obedience. And that's what we're looking at, Polycarp. Go ahead, brother.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. As Landmark Missionary Baptist, we also have a First Peter passage that talks about baptism saves us. Mm-hmm. There is a doctrine that we teach about saving this physical life by obeying God. And maybe there's a misunderstanding of some of the teachings we've written.
And what's that word for the context? I mean, you can take, I tell you what, you can take one sentence or two sentences from an interview, and the writer can blow a whole story completely out before. It was even the context of it said. We all know that, right? And so, yes, not sure how that was meant for that. Thank you. All right. Next paragraph, please.
There was also considerable controversy over the sole authority of the Scriptures. Scripture had just become the sole authority for faith and practice. The apostles and perhaps those associated with them had still been receiving revelations, signs, and wonders until approximately 90 AD. This is a very rough estimate.
All right, everybody catch that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine living in a time where, yes, you had the Scriptures, but there was also the gifts of the church, right? Get ready for this? People that, quote, had just received the inspired word from God himself. Imagine living then. And they said, well, once they got the completed word of God, they didn't know that it's gone away with. You bet they did, because everybody had a copy of it.
Right?
No.
God needed some strong men, some strong church members to be able to say, hey, hang on to this. We have a couple. But I tell you what, it spoke out. I can't wait. We're going to get to this. We will get to this guy here, okay? And he saw the gifts. He talked with John. He was there. Tell me again how it was like when God told you that I read the book of Revelation. This is true. He said this is going to happen. Can you imagine talking with him? It happened. read right there, okay? Yes, soul authority. Soul authority, yes. Good, keep going.
Several of the early church writers, apostolic fathers, had seen the sign gifts in connection with the ministry of the apostles. Polycarp, who as a young man was a helper to the apostle John, had often seen such sign gifts. The books of the New Testament had all been written, but copies of all the books were not always available to all the church leaders. It is certainly easier to understand their confusion in that period than it is to understand such confusion today.
That statement right there. But there was confusion, and you can understand it. You can understand it, okay? What an exciting time they were living in. We have the Word of God. We have the written Word of God. The written Word of God. All right. And some of these people actually lived during the time when the church had the gifts. Also live at the time of the history.
Yes.
And that is pretty cool. Alright. Let's read another.
It is obvious that in the early church, the terms bishop, pastor, elder, and presbyter were virtually identical. They all referred to ordained spiritual leaders in the church congregation. It does not appear that the term bishop refers only to the pastor with the final responsibility in a local congregation, but the idea of a bishop ruling over several congregations in different areas was known to the apostolic church fathers.
I want you to look at that last sentence, please, that was just read. All right? The idea of a bishop ruling over several congregations in different areas was unknown to the apostolic church fathers. Okay, again, these are some people that wrote during the first and second century. And we're going to get to this here, not today, but big church ruling over little church, pastor rule, being sort of the head pastor over Chicago. That is part of a that starts sneaking in amongst the Baptist ranks. All right, but the statement here is the apostolic fathers, whether they were they knew nothing. Not those guys. Yes, Polycarp, Ignatius, Barnabas, mentioned Rome. They knew nothing of this. They knew nothing of it. Because they had never heard of it before.
All right? Well, and a common denominator with the apostolic fathers was something, a Baptist characteristic, a Bible characteristic that we see in is that they were not followers of men. And if there were men that they could have, if there were men to be followed, It was, well, John taught me, or, you know, Peter wrote personal letters to me, as they carried on the faith and they carried on the ministry and the work, I guess what I'm getting to is they were not referring to the men that they were followers of. They were, you know, like Paul was like, you know, I'm a Peter, I'm a Paul, some say. Whereas around this time is when the Catholic Church started, and it became, which man are you following, or who is the authority in this religion? And none of the apostolic fathers referred to the men they followed.
Okay, I hope you heard that. If anybody, Polycarp, Ignatius, if anybody could have took out their little, hey, I was with John, I was with, if anybody, it could have been them. And I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead and share with you here. I brought my big boy glasses here. So I'm going to read about half a page of low shine today, but it's not going to, I can tell you what. Quirinius, Tertullian, defend what you're saying, Brother Bo, is that the Church of Rome had no special authority over the church. Because, let's just get this word out. Apostles, big deal. Big deal. And, ready for this, our church was established because of the apostle so-and-so's ministry. Everybody catch that? We know it's done to the church, don't we, right? But do you say, well, these guys write at length saying, no. The Church of Rome has nothing over the church that would have helped.
Right.
All right?
Or I was baptized. I mean, that's even in the book of Corinthians, but...
I was baptized by whoever.
Yeah, these guys are not, you know, well, I was baptized by one of Jesus's original apostles, you know.
And so, I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, but the bottom line is, you need to know that, is if even it goes on to say, I'll read this to you next time, if any church could have carried a little bit of weight, might have been the Jerusalem church, right? Hello, the dead found the right? Are you with me? Never does. These guys never wrote about that. All right, Brother Jeff and Brother Parker.
It's the same argument that was going on in the Church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Same deal, Brother Parker.
Well, make a point for, you know, rightly dividing the Bible analysis. Aren't we told, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, continue in the apostles' doctrine? Ephesians chapter 2 over there, verse 21 or 19:20. The foundation of the apostles. I mean, what's our misinterpretation of this? Because we don't see that in any of that the apostles were lifting themselves up, but rather were giving what they delivered,
what they were delivered
from Christ. It was always about Jesus. So why would that, if we're Baptists, and we're, why would Polycarp and Ignatius, why would they lift that man when that's not what the apostles were doing?
They followed some good examples. Some men that God had, Jesus himself had prepared to carry on, and they were the right men. And they were important, extremely important to the church. To the, ready for this? I'm going to say it this way. To the first churches, very important. And thank goodness there were at least a couple, and I'm sure there were more, Ignatius, but that in the mind of Christ, they learned from the brethren in cotton, right? Somebody right there.
I was just going to say, I think we see some of the disciples' names written on a foundation somewhere. You know, so I mean, you're saying they were important.
They were important.
Vital.
Vital. Because you know what? They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. Let's read the last paragraph, please. Page 30. Top of page 30.
Page 31.
You got it?
Beginning with 30? Yeah, it is too much to say that all of the early... Sorry, I'm trying to fix audio issues here. It is too much to say that all of the early apostolic church fathers are Baptists, but it is clear the Baptist ideas were present. It is also clear that none of the Baptist distinctives are new ideas and that they were all present in the early church. While our information is not complete, it is entirely possible that some of the apostolic fathers were Baptists. For example, Polycarp does not write about all of the issues that we call the Baptist distinctives, but on each issue he does write, he is clearly Baptist.
All right, so with that being said, a quick summation. Let's go ahead and just jump on to Polycarp. I think I had this on the board yesterday. You guys probably have this all written down in your notes, right? Lord's Supper, act of obedience, helper of the Apostle John. You know, we have examples in the scriptures. Think of Joshua, how big of a help he was to Moses, right? And if Elijah would probably, you know, go on with many others. The bottom line is, Polycarp was a great help to the Apostle John. He had seen the gifts of the early church. We read that here. Mosheim up to 207. He was the bishop of the Church of Smyrna. We read about the Church of Smyrna. Were you read about the Church of Smyrna? Book of Revelation. Bishop. There's an epistle written to the church at Philippi. It wasn't inspired, but the pastor of the church at Smyrna, Polycarp, wrote an epistle. For us to write a long handwritten letter would be kill a half of us today. And some of you with a pencil. Wrote a letter. I'm just saying he communicated with the church at Philippi. Oh, I read in the scriptures where you guys... No, he communicated with them. How cool is that, right? we're going to read here. I handed it out. I handed out another piece of paper. Hope you have it. The one that says, says Polycarp at the top. There's two sides here. Make sure you're on the correct side, please. The one that says, I'll go here. Ready? We're going to hit some stuff here. I think I have time. I want us to understand. We happen to have a few things written about Polycarp and Ignatius, okay? And last night I read about Ignatius. Today we're going to read about Polycarp. I have out of the Baptist Heritage, by the way, this is, this is not perfect, but there's some good research and quotes from other historians. Okay, I'm going to try to do a better job giving credit where credit's due here. And then on the back side of that page, this is from Fox's bookmarks, okay? Here we go. First things first, Polycarp. All right. We do not think it presumptuous nor dishonest to claim Polycarp as a Baptist. Now, this is actually Holliday's writing right here, okay? Our view is shared by many Baptists and is confirmed by many who are not. Baptist Church Perpetuity for History of W.A. Gerald, page 58, I have that book, I've read it. Listen to this, quotes, Gerald quotes, ready for this? John Clark Rithap, Methodist. Everybody catch that? So the guy, don't worry about his name, he's a Methodist. Methodist of DuPaul University. This is what the Methodist said. You ready? I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as AD 100. Though, without doubt, there were Baptists then, as all Christians were then Baptists.
What in the world are you doing there?
Why is he a Methodist?
That's a good question. I was talking with somebody I went back and got that Gerald book out, and I read and dispute. He puts it in there. But every once in a while, like in Trail of Blood, the Cardinal messes up and admits this. Every once in a while, the Methodist messes up and misses and he mentions this. They know it.
Yeah.
And sometimes their tongue tells on them.
Yeah.
All right? Now, I don't need that quote from a Methodist to let me know that Matthew 16:18 is true. But that does give me a little bit of grief.
All right. It's still pretty cool.
Yes, it is. There's many of these folks. Just have to find them and cross your eyes. It takes a little bit of time. All right. I'm turning my page. You're probably not turning your page. I can't remember. I made a copy. All right, let's skip on down here. We're still reading here. Need some help here. Let's go. I'm going to call it first paragraph. I'm going to call it first paragraph right here. Yeah, I should have. I tell you what, I'm right here. It says in about the year 167. Everybody see that? All right, here we go. I need help. Bo, can you read?
Yes.
Let's read there. Bo says he had succeeded. This is referring to Polycarp. He had succeeded.
Sorry. Are you on?
I'm sorry. I'll do this. I jumped through it a little bit. I'm on the first paragraph. About the year 167.
Oh, okay.
I'm skipping through mine.
Yeah. All right. He had succeeded Nicolaus, a vigilant and industrious bishop in the charge of Smyrna. The apostles, and we may suppose St. John particularly, ordained him to this office. He had been familiarly conversant with the apostles and received the government of the church from those who had been eyewitnesses and ministers of our Lord. And he continually taught that which he had been taught by them.
All right. And that's the history of the Church of Christ, Joseph Miller. I'm going to ask you, you're sitting around a church camp. What do you think Polycarp was saying? Hey, John, tell me about that recipe that your mom gave you. Tell me again what it was when Jesus appeared into the room. Tell me again. Can you imagine the conversations they had? John, now, on the Lord's Supper, we're to do it this way. Next paragraph, please. Brother Bo, go ahead. You did good. Let me try again.
Polycarp, bishop of Smyrna, disciple and friend of St. John, survived all other teachers of the Christian church who had enjoyed the privilege of living and conversing with the apostles.
All right, that's written by Reverend, J.E. Riddle. All right, everybody see that? So there was a time in his life, we're going to get to it, Polycarp had seen a lot of the brethren die and go on to be with the Lord. And Polycarp gets to the point, we're going to get there. Hey, he's tired of this whole world. He's tired of this pagan, worshiping world that he was living in. And he too is hungry to go on. Brother Nathan, would you please, Irenaeus?
Yeah, I wasn't sure, Brother.
Yeah, I know his wife is there for the help. I didn't realize that she was there. I'll go with you here, okay?
Irenaeus informs us that he, Polycarp, had a particular delight in recounting what he had been told by those who had seen Christ in the flesh, that he used to relate also what he had heard concerning his doctrine and miracles. And when he was informed of any heretical attempts to overturn Christian fundamentals, he would cry out, "To what times, O God, hast thou reserved me?" and would leave the place.
All right. I can just see this. Joseph Miller, for the crap he has shared with us, if I get this wrong, correct me here. Brother Crawford used to preach that Israel would become a nation again, right? You've ever heard this before, a couple of you have, right? And I think maybe a couple times he had to stop midstream and say, no, they are a nation. Right here, teaching on spiritual gifts, but folks, that's been done away with. Can you imagine teaching and preaching on this? Yes, we had it. Yes, it was here. Yeah, I personally say talk with John, talk with some of the other apostles, but they're done away with. All right? Irenaeus, you saw the author referred to Irenaeus there. This is the same guy that's right here. We will learn and talk about him. But he talks about this. Okay, cat's out of the bag. Irenaeus. Watch that little thing. Jesus, John, Polycarp, Irenaeus. Just chew on that for a second. Pretty cool. All right. And some of them get talking about spiritual gifts and whatever. He got to the point he just got tired of me. Just walk out. All right. How about here, Brother Nathan Fetter? If you would, please. Next paragraph, please. I'll probably stop you, but go ahead.
He was brought right there.
Yes, please.
He was brought before the tribunal of the proconsul Philip.
Yeah, the guy in charge. Yep.
Who seemed to wish to save the vulnerable old man.
That's all right.
He said to Polycarp, "If you only swear by Caesar and reproach Christ, I will immediately release you." Polycarp replied, 80 and 6 years have I served Christ, and he hath never wronged me. How can I now blaspheme my king, who hath saved me? I am a Christian. If you desire to learn the Christian doctrine, assign me a day, and I will declare it
unto you." Stop right there. First things first. All right? I want you to understand, he is not the only one that has been said to blaspheme Christ, and you'll be released. Yeah. But yeah, I tell you what, you didn't blaspheme his king.
Yeah.
All right? And then at last, you guys caught that. That's the underline in my, made an underline here. But he said, hey, if you desire to, if you want to have a Bible study, yeah, all right, I'll teach you the Christian doctrine. Mm-hmm. We have examples of that in the scriptures too, don't we? Does it, I mean, kings, people in authority, you want to hear the truth, I'll explain it to you, but
just Paul.
Just Paul.
First one
came. You got a great example right there. Give me a day and I'll declare it unto you. This is the man that's about to die at the hands here. It is what he says to the guy. Who is he concerned with? Lost souls. You're doing good. Keep going, Polycarp.
When Polycarp had finished his prayer and pronounced amen aloud, the officers lighted the fire, and a great flame bursting out, it went to whom it was given to see, to saw a wonder, who also were reserved to relate to others that which had happened.
I'm going to stop you right here. I'm not going to let you read anymore. Ready? If you have not heard of this, get ready, because you're going to say, did this really happen?
Yeah.
Hocus pocus. If you haven't read the rest of this, you're about to think that. So it's going to get your mind. I don't know if it did or not, but I think that last sentence that Brother Nathan just read was, who had reserved to relate to others that which had happened. So people are going to share what he's about to read. That's why we have it printed in a book. Was I there? No. Was there a picture of it? No. Was there a video? No. But I'm here to tell you that just because the church does not have spiritual gifts anymore, God can do anything he wants to at any time. And if this did happen, so be it, Brother Kim.
Before you read this, jumped in my brain. Stephen, what did they see when they saw Stephen? They saw the face of him.
Everybody hearing this?
Now, that's what they saw.
That's what they saw. Okay? All right, Brother Nathan, go ahead.
For the flame forming the appearance of an ark, as the sail of a vessel filled with the wind, was a wall round about the body of the martyr, and it was in the midst, not as burning flesh, but as gold and silver refined in a furnace. We received also in our nostrils such a fragrance as a frankincense or some other precious perfume. At length, the impious judges, observing that his body could not be consumed by fire, ordered the executioner to approach and plunge his sword into his body. Upon this, a quantity of blood gushed out so that the fire was extinguished, and all the multitude were astonished. The dead body was placed upon the funeral pile and burned. The friends of the martyr were then permitted to collect the charred bones and give them to a Christian burial. The church in Samaria wrote an account of the martyrdom of Polycarp, which is still extant, and which they sent to their brethren throughout the world.
All right, very good, thank you. The church in Smyrna wrote an account of the martyrdom of Polycarp, which is still extant. Still here. It's here. They sent this account to the other churches. Yes, Brother Daniel, thank you. I don't know. You guys have smelled burning flesh before. I mean, you haven't. And you've smelled, okay? I don't think of fragrance or perfume or whatever, but I tell you what. A dear brother, a hero, a Baptist hero, right there. They saw him. All right? I think we have 2 minutes here. Flip your page over. We have... If you want to switch teaching spots, we can. I'll take your extra 2 minutes, okay? All right. Okay. We won't go there. Here we go. Down there, there's an arrow there. It says Polycarp. Everybody see that? All right. Here we go. Who wants to read this here?
Just real quick. Maybe simple, the venerable. We read that before. It's there again.
Is there?
Hopefully everybody knows and understands that.
Said?
Highly esteemed and respectful.
Highly esteemed and respectful. Good. Okay, why don't you read this? I'm going to go ask here.
Go ahead. Polycarp is good. Polycarp, the venerable bishop of Smyrna, hearing that persons were seeking for him, escaped, but was discovered by a child. After feasting, the guards who apprehended him, he desired an hour in prayer, which being allowed, he prayed with such fervency that his guards repented, that they had been instrumental in taking him. He was, however, carried before the proconsul, condemned, and burnt in the marketplace. The proconsul then urged him, saying, "Swear, I will release thee, reproach Christ." Polycarp answered, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who hath saved me? At the stake to which he was only tied, but not nailed as usual, as he assured them that he should stand immovable, the flames, on their kindling, the faggots encircled his body like an ark without touching him, and the executioner, on seeing this, was ordered to pierce him with a sword. In so great a quantity of blood flowed out as extinguished the fire, but his body, at the instigation of the enemies of the gospel, especially Jews, was ordered to be consumed in the pile, and the request of his friends, who wished to give it Christian burial, rejected, they nevertheless collected his bones and as much of his remains as possible and caused them to be decently interred.
All right, we'll stop there. First thing, just real quick as we close, go back up there, brother. Oh, his guards repented. Can that happen? Did it happen?
Paul and Silas.
Paul and Silas had to pop in your mind, right? Here's one. Did Jesus' crucifixion and burial affect anybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
The soldiers said, yes. Truly. We go to Stephen a lot because Paul was a witness, but I tell you what, fast forward a whole lot, eventually the Roman persecution, in the circle, the gladiators,
Colosseum.
Yeah, eventually, the thrill and the stuff, it got to be too much for people. And one of the papers I handed out, there's actually a paragraph we didn't read. You can read where people literally were writing to the center, writing that they would stop. It took a time, but eventually did. These guards could have repented, could have got saved from hell because of what Polycarp did back then. We don't know. We don't know, but we sure could. And then, you read a lot of the same things, but, I had one more thing to tell right there. But then they tried to deny the Christian burial, whatever the case is. You know what? This is Bones. Out of respect for him, right? We saw the men get Saul's son, right, for that. Out of respect.
David.
Right? Or is it David's son?
Yeah. No, but David wouldn't got their bones off the wall.
There you go. Right? He rewarded people. Right? All right. Can you imagine taking up the bones? I'm not going to ask you to say anything, but if you look at somebody, can you imagine picking up the bones of someone you care about, love, maybe in this room, and taking it for a bit? Again, stuff going to your brain. Am I going to go away? Or did you get your stitch on? Oh.
All right. I know you're out of time.
I'm not going to get in trouble.
So, John to the church in Smyrna. In Revelation chapter 2, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Then jump down verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We read the Bible sometimes and we disassociate ourselves from the humanity of these people here. Polycarp was the pastor of this church. I don't know if he was the pastor at the time of this letter, but he was the next pastor, most likely. Now, when we hear the word of God, because that's what this letter was, it was inspired by John, who was Polycarp's friend and his teacher. You wonder if the word of God came back to him in these moments. And it just, it's humbling because when we hear the word of God, whether we're admonished, this was obviously a letter inspired by God to these churches, John was not writing to a bunch of people that he didn't know. He wasn't writing to a bunch of people that he wasn't aware of, and they were just a group of people, and they were faceless. And they, the people that heard it, were not just receiving it from some authority somewhere far removed away. I mean, our Baptist brethren had the same types of emotions and relationships and connections that we do, but this was the word of God. The tribulation that some of you shall endure, you'll be cast into prison, you'll be tried. This came from his friend. This came from, and like I said, I don't think he was the pastor at this time, but he was probably the pastor.
Okay, and so we'll close on this, ready? But that passage that was just read right there, sometime that passage was read in preaching or teaching
yes.
to the church of Smyrna afterwards.
Yes.
How do you comment on it? They would just stop and let the tear go down, say, wow, our pastor did this. We need to do the same thing for our sake. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was an impact. Yes. That's why I wrote up there last night the epistles I wrote to the church at Ephesus, to the church. Sometimes I say to the church members. He knew the people. They know these people, many of them. And they addressed them. And stay strong. Be encouraged. Don't let what happens to me don't deter you. You stay to the end. Overcome. Overcome.